Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, another Das Hobby episode, another English-speaking episode this week. And we have a very, very special guest today. But before we introduce the guest, Marcus, how are you doing?
It's not me, the special guest, but I'm good. Thank you. Again, English, I try my best today, but I'm very looking forward to our episode today for our guest.
So our guest is Ryan Hoke from PSA. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Dennis. Hey, Marcus. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thank you so much for taking the time. Like we said before, like Ned was a little ramp to get to you finally. And we're very, very thankful for that. Can you give our listeners a little introduction to you? How did you get involved with the beautiful hobby?
Yeah. I'll spend a couple minutes and give you a little bit on my background. So my role at the company is I'm president of PSA. I moved into that role in November, so I'm relatively new into this position, but I joined our broader company, Collectors, in the summer of 2021 as the first chief product officer. So I was working with our chief technology officer to lead the product and tech organization and build out all the software and the technology solutions that power a lot of the end user customer facing things that you all see when you're submitting to PSA or selling in our marketplace, or even the internal operation software that we use to help facilitate grading in our research process. Prior to joining the company, I spent 16 years at Microsoft in different product roles. And so I was there from October 2005 to July 2021 and worked in different kind of product management roles. Was part of the founding team of a product called OneDrive, which is Microsoft's online storage service, helped create that. I worked on the first version of Surface. I worked on a couple versions of Windows. The last job I had was leading the user experience team for Windows 11. But I have always been a collector. And I've known Nat personally. We became friends through collecting probably in 2015. And so we would keep in touch just as hobby buddies. And then we started talking more seriously when he organized the investor group that took Collectors Universe private in February of 2021 about potentially joining up with him to help kind of take the company and the hobby to the next level. And that's how I ended up here. But on a collecting note, so I'm in my mid-40s. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s collecting. I grew up in Texas in the US, and was setting up at shows when I was 12, 13 years old. And it was honestly some of my first introduction to business, negotiation, buying, selling, that sort of thing. And then I got out of collecting once I kind of got into high school and had some other interests. And then I rediscovered it again when I was in college in the late 90s when eBay was getting going, and I started buying and selling a little bit more on eBay. I actually graded some of the first cards with PSA from my childhood collection in 1999. I still have those. I have two of them at least. One is a 1986 Donruss Jose Canseco. It's a PSA 8. Mm-hmm. And the other is a 1989 Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck. It's a PSA 9. And then I started working. And so then I got out of it again. And then when my oldest daughter was born in 2011, I rediscovered the hobby and I've been hooked ever since. And so I collect all sorts of things, mostly sports related, but I have stuff across all the sports. I probably have a propensity for vintage baseball. That's kind of the area that I like most, but I've started collecting some soccer cards the last couple of years, especially vintage soccer, which is kind of fun. But I love it. And in a fun part of the job is every time I'm in the office, I get to see such amazing items that come through the building. It's so cool. So cool.
Isn't it hard also to see it come through the building and not stay there?
Oh, I know. Well, sometimes we, those extra special items, we definitely scrutinize a bit more and have more eyes on it. So I get to put my eyes on those really special items.
That's smart. And I saw in your history that you, in 2015, you created an app called Elite Cards too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, this tells you how kind of nuts I am. So when I got back into collecting, I found that there wasn't a really good kind of pricing and research tool available. You had eBay completed sales, and I would look there, but I thought there could be a better solution. I thought there could be a solution that was mobile friendly that would work great on your iPhone or your Android phone. And so I designed and built this product. I called it Elite Card Prices. And basically what it would do is it would log sales data from some private auction houses and eBay. And you could just search, and it had a very simple interface where you get certain access for free, and then you'd have to pay a subscription. But I self-funded that whole thing and ran it for several years. We had people sign up. It wasn't a huge success. But one thing that was interesting when I did that, actually, a couple years after I started development of that, KSA ended up shipping a feature called Auction Prices Realized, which mm-hmm. was almost identical to what I had kind of put out there to do. And so I actually loved seeing that the industry leader in grading did something similar and gave it all away for free. And so I ended up winding down that offering, but it was really a precursor to things like Card Ladder, which is under our umbrella. Obviously Card Ladder team has taken it to a whole nother level. I was barely scratching the surface, but it just showed that I was trying to kind of blend my tech background with my passion for this hobby, where I thought there was a gap.
Very nice.
Yeah, and that was a good start. If you mentioned Card Ladder, I'm using this all day. It's very perfect. And if you said it was the start, when you said you created that app, was when was it?
2015.
Yeah, and it's awesome. How is it developed today?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Card Ladder is great. I use Card Ladder all the time. If not every day, definitely multiple times a week, I'm in Card Ladder.
Yeah.
So, and you just mentioned now you're at PSA, the leading company for all things grading. And now you guys are making, like for us here in Europe, a big, big move that should make all our lives easier. So can you tell us a little about that? We're very honored that you're going to announce this here on the podcast.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly when the podcast is airing, but
when you want it to air.
Okay. Well, on March 7th, we are announcing a partnership with Dave & Adams, which is one of the larger online and brick and mortar retailers of unopened product in the US. And they also have European presence, and they have a new brick and mortar location in the Netherlands. That we have partnered with them to kind of designate as the first official PSA European Submission Center. And so what this means is there's going to be a very easy way for customers to go into the store. We have trained the Dave & Adams employees. We've actually had PSA employees over there the last month or so, working with the team to educate them and train them on how to take in submissions. Customers don't have to worry anymore about shipping stuff to the US. They can drop off directly at Dave & Adams, get that submission created, opt to have the items shipped back to them or shipped back to the retail store that they can pick up in person, with pricing very in line with what we have advertised in the US. And so we're really excited about this. I think that there's, especially for new collectors, there's always a sense of fear or anxiety on, I have to send my items, to some black box, and I don't know if they're going to get there safely. This, we have a trusted partner that's got that retail presence that you can walk in and interface directly with them. So we think that this will hopefully lower some of those fears and concerns. And we're excited to see the growth potential. Dave & Adams' team has been great. And so, yeah, we're pumped to see this thing launch.
We too. It's a big, big news and big, big good news for us in Europe. It's not only Germany, of course, it's Europe. Mm-hmm. And as you said, there's a lot of customers just send by themselves or try by themselves or other partners and try to collect them together and send them. But now you have really a point where you can send them in. Was that the reason why you said, or what was the main reason to say, let's do something in Europe, like in working with Dave & Adams? What was the reason?
Yeah, so I'll just say in general, international growth is a big focus area for us. We know we have a ton of customers that are outside of the United States. This is part of the reason why we're launching our new grading operation in Tokyo. We've had a sales team. We've actually had PSA employees in Tokyo since 2018. This summer, we're going live with our first grading operation outside of the United States. We have one in California, one in New Jersey, and this will be the third one. And then we have sales motions going on in broader Asia. We have them happening in Canada. And then Europe is also a huge focus. We have collectors. Germany is a huge market for us. UK is one. We have collectors in Greece, Italy. We're excited to put more of a focus there. And I think if you look at PSA over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see continued investment in growing our presence internationally and helping educate the hobby on the benefits of using our services.
So what gave Dave and Adams the pole position?
You know, I think the fact that they've got such a long history, they've been around for 30 years, trusted business, trusted partner. We've worked with them in the United States. The fact that they had this very customer-friendly retail presence, I think gave them a huge leg up versus, say, an operator that has more of a warehouse type space. People are already going here to buy new product. Oftentimes, some of the hits or cards they're going to get out of opening the new product, they're going to want to grade. And so it's just a real natural extension. And we're actually revamping our overall dealer program in general, even in the United States, where we're looking to make sure that we've got the right coverage in the right regions, and that we're partnering more with hobby shops, which are a source of the supply. We think that just makes a lot of sense. It's almost like, you know, when you go into maybe a postage center and you have like a DHL or Federal Express or other shipping providers where there's a kiosk and you can ship things. That's kind of the model that we see with some of this, where the employees can be trained. They understand how to use our services. They can help steer you in the right direction. And then we have safe, secure, conduits and shipping lanes effectively to get that back to us in California. You know, longer term, I would love for us to stand up a grading operation in Europe, maybe even in Germany. You know, so I think once we get the volume there and it's a large enough market for us, I think there's lots of benefits to keeping that stuff local from a shipping and turnaround standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, what I can only imagine is that the hard thing is to, like, if you want to outsource or to go to other countries, to really have the personnel who can grade at that level that you guys need to keep the PSA. Stamp.
Yes. Right? Yeah. No, for sure. And, you know, just to even talk a little bit about how we approach kind of grader training and education, some of our senior graders in California have been doing this. I think our longest tenured one has been doing this since 1987. So there is a long history. Mm. Most of the senior graders have at least 15 years of experience grading. Wow. There's lots of knowledge. There's expertise across categories. Some are knowledgeable with vintage. Some are knowledgeable with Pokemon and TCG. Some are knowledgeable with ultra modern. Some can cover all of it. And then, you know, when we launch these new offices, there is a lot of training that's happening. Like the first initial graders for Japan have actually been in California since November doing training. We're not opening up that office until the summertime, but they are going to spend at least 6 months kind of apprenticing with the main grading team just to learn the standards and how to look at things. We did the same approach with our New Jersey operation. And so, yeah, we're deeply committed to making sure we get things right and we've got the right level of knowledge for the categories of items that we're grading in any of these locations.
Perfect.
Yeah, crazy. Can you, I don't know how deep is it already clear or how much you can share? How is the setup when I as a customer want to grade now to submit to PSA with Dave and Adams? What would be the process? Can you share a bit?
I actually haven't gone through the full user experience, but what I understand is you can go into the store and work with a person there at the shop. And they will take in your cards, help determine what service level those should be submitted under. Because I think that's a lot of the questions people have too, from a declared value standpoint, because we do differentiate our services based on the value of the item. They will help you navigate that. And then they will decide or work with you to decide, do you want this shipped back to you? Or do you want to keep this here at the shop when it's returned? And then you can pick it up in person.
Okay.
That's very good, because insurance is always one of those concerns that people have when you send something out. So is it insured? Is it not insured? Like, what if it gets lost in the mail and everything? And that's all off the table?
Yes, that's all taken care of here.
Okay. Yeah,
that's perfect. That was a big issue, because as a private customer, it's not easy to get an insurance. You get until a limit, euro limit, but not so big. But now that would be feeling better if you sent.
Yeah, no, we recognized a lot of the friction there, the in concerns that people had, and really wanted to come up with a solution with David Adams that helps address that, to alleviate those concerns, to make it easy, and so that you have peace of mind when you're submitting with us.
Yeah, good. It's like, I'm very sure that the community over here is so thankful for this move, because that also shows us, and we had that little conversation with Nat too, that it shows us that the European market is valued by you guys over there, and it really is. That's so good to see, like, for us over here.
Yeah, no, we're super excited about it. I mean, we even know we have a decent view into the types of cards that are collected over in Europe. I mean, NBA basketball is huge. Mm-hmm. TCG is huge. Soccer and F1 are growing. Mm-hmm. And so maybe a little bit less on baseball and American football. Yes. But
I mean, that's true. Baseball is, I think, it's that will always be an issue. It's not on TV here. It's not, you cannot see it. It doesn't have the history. Kids are not playing it in school. So it's just not it. But American football is actually really growing. The NFL is having games over.
Oh, they're playing games in Germany now, right?
Yeah, yes. So I think that's going good. And TCG, you can't go wrong with that. And
TCG, you know, just speaking of that category for a second, it is growing so much for us. And you know, even if it was its own standalone business, it's massive. Mm. And so you're going to see us continue to make more of a focus there from a content and services perspective on what we're offering to TCG collectors. Because oftentimes there's not a lot of overlap. A TCG collector might be very distinct from a sports card collector. Mm-hmm. And so we really want to cater solutions and content and experiences to that audience. Because we've got things like our magazine, the set registry, in our pricing research tools, that I think we can do a lot more that's really catered to the TCG and Pokemon audience.
Yeah, man, I love it. I love it, really.
It's fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for making that move, and thank you so much for sharing with us too. But let's go back to your personal story to just get one or two questions at the end. So what is in Ryan's PC these days?
So in my PC, like I said at the beginning, I'm kind of a vintage baseball guy, but you guys are going to be like, oh, I don't care. I don't know the history there.
Let it flow.
But so there's a couple of individual players that I've been collecting, kind of their basic tops runs. You'll know them, Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of working on completing their full run of tops cards. Willie's was 52 to 73. And Hank Aaron is 54 to 76. Mm. And I'm well on my way to getting Willie Mays done. I think I'm about almost 70% complete there, all PSA graded. I'm trying to do 7 or higher. And then Hank Aaron, I'm lagging a little bit. I'm probably more like 40%. But I've been working on those. What else am I doing? I started buying some soccer stickers and cards the last couple years, kind of just, my kids are really into soccer. My youngest daughter in particular is a big, big soccer player. She's only 8, but she really loves the sport. We watched a lot of World Cup together. And so she likes Lionel Messi. So I bought her some Messi cards, and she's got those on her PSA stands all set up in her room. But I started buying more soccer, stickers. I bought a bunch of Pele 1970 World Cup stickers with all the different back variations. Mm. I have some Alfredo Di Stefano cards from the early 50s. Some of them are super rare, where we've only graded maybe 2 or 3 ever at PSA that I was able to find. So I've had fun there. And then I'm also building, I have a first series Garbage Pail Kids, which was a set that Topps did back in the 80s. I actually have a stack sitting here on my desk. Let me, these weren't worthy of grading, but you can see, I'll take these out. these are all just raw, but I had a raw set. And so they're based on like Cabbage Patch Kids, where they're all goofy and kind of crude, like brainy, Janey or whatever. This one was a little too off-centered to grade, but this was the first set that I collected when I was a kid. I was really, really young. But I remember buying these cards before I even bought baseball cards. And so I'm trying to complete that whole first series in PSA grade. I'm trying to do 8 or higher. And it's really tough. They didn't make a lot of that first series edition. I actually, when I was a kid, I was collecting the third series. And so these were super rare to find back then. But yeah, those are some of the things. And then I always like opening new product with my brothers-in-law and my kids. We like to rip some new stuff. And so we'll rip new Prism basketball or football, and we'll rip Bowman baseball and things like that. And just kind of, you know, looking for the big hits, looking for the new rookies.
So everyone is in the hobby in the family. So everyone,
well, I try, my wife is definitely not, but she still thinks I'm kind of nuts with what I do, but hey, it's paying the bills now. No, she actually is really excited that I've turned this like passion into my career. I think it's really rare when you can marry the two things on what you've done in your career with what you're just personally into. I mean, oftentimes when I'm doing work related stuff, it doesn't even feel like work. If I'm listening to the DOS Hobby podcast, or I'm listening to another podcast, or reading some article, or doing research on a thing I maybe want to go buy, it's work, but it's also fun.
Mm. So yeah, you're right. I mean, the privilege to do that, to do something that you really like and get up for that every morning, that's really amazing. That's what the hobby is about, right?
Oh yeah,
more than absolutely a hobby.
Yeah, you know, I take the job that I'm in very seriously, because I do look at the role that PSA plays in our broader company collectors and what we do. And you know, we have a big responsibility for the hobby, and we're setting the future of how people experience collecting for the next 10, 15 years. And so we want to do things right. We want to be as transparent as we can. We want to be, you know, open and engaging with the community and accessible. I know Nat and I both are very communicative with folks on social, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram. People reach out to us if they have questions or concerns about things, or even ideas, and they'll pitch us on ideas like, hey, have you thought about XYZ? And so we generally respond to, I would say, 95% of those types of requests. And so no, it's a privilege.
Yeah. Yeah. PSA, a company of the people.
Yeah.
We got that's the headline cool for the podcast. Exactly.
Yeah. There you go.
So thank you so much, Ryan. We really appreciate it that you took the time on a Friday morning. Friday morning. Yeah. Net was a Monday morning even. So I don't want to know what was going on there in the background. But really, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks
for having me, guys.
And have a good time over there.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.